you for being here in the house of the Lord. Let's turn to page number 445. As you're standing there, or as you're getting there, let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, for your mercy, and your grace. Lord, I thank you for those that were able to come out tonight. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, give us exactly what we need to hear. Lord, to help us get through the week. And Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do. We give you all the praise and the glory and the honor that comes from it. In Jesus' name, amen. Page number 445, Standing on the Promises.
Thank you.
the Deer, page number 497, As the Deer. We'll sing it through with the piano the first time, and then the second time through we'll sing in a cappella. For being here today. Amen. God's been so good to us, and we're thankful for every blessing, every trial. God is good. Again, I do appreciate you being here in the house of the Lord. We're going to start a new series this week, and I titled it Fruitful Christianity. Fruitful Christianity. And I believe that we're called to bear fruit. And I believe that the Lord has called us to do that. We're going to be in Galatians chapter number 5, verses 16 through 23. As you're turning there, let me give you a little bit of introduction here to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians is one of the first epistles written by the Apostle Paul. It is addressed to the churches established in Galatia during Paul's first missionary journey. And as he revealed the gospel, Paul made many enemies. He didn't make a lot of friends, but he made a lot of enemies, and because he preached the truth. And the Jews harassed him, and they even stoned him. And despite these problems, he maintained a spirit of joy and steadfastness. And he didn't allow trials to hinder his spiritual growth. He actually allowed those things to help him to grow, those trials. One man said this, the other people don't create your spirit, they only reveal it. Circumstances reveal the contents of our spirit. The Bible says this in Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And Paul expressed trial after, he experienced trial after trial, yet he faced them with faithfulness and fruitfulness. And throughout all the things that he faced, I believe that he was able to do so because he had this abiding fellowship with Christ. The Bible says in the book of John chapter 15 and verse 1 through 4, it says, I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. How are we to bear these fruit? How are we to be fruitful Christians? We're going to talk about this in this series of being fruitful Christians and how we're to do that. Jesus wants us to bear fruit. And our lives will not do so unless we are abiding in Him. That's what these verses just said. Unless we are abiding in Him, we cannot bear fruit. I believe it's a tragedy to when I see people that claim to be Christians and yet their lives are no different than the world. That they're not bearing any fruit. It baffles my mind. I believe that God has called us to bear fruit. For a Christian not to see fruitfulness in his life, it may be a problem with the root issue. Because the Bible says this in Colossians 2:7, rooted and builded up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. I read some time ago an article in the USA Today, and in this article it was... It was headed, Is Everyone Ready? And it was, in the article, it spoke of the devastation that was left behind from Hurricane Katrina. And during this hurricane, of course, we all know the devastation that it left behind. But it gave specific instructions and safeguards to prepare folks for the upcoming hurricane season. And although there was so many people that was warned, although there were so many people that was told they need to abandon ship, if you will, they needed to get out of town, even though the warnings went out, people didn't listen. They didn't heed the advice, the counsel, the precautions there. People still chose to remain inactive. A man by the name of Max Mayfield, he's the director of National Hurricane Center in Miami. He said this, people need to wake up. He said, news coverage is all for nothing if individuals don't develop their own hurricane plans. Now, I'm setting a groundwork here. Hurricanes are much like unexpected attacks of Satan. We don't know when they're coming, but we're sure they're coming. We can't always predict a hurricane, and nor can we predict one of his attacks. Mr. Mayfield, he boils it down to this, to the real solution. He said this. He says he didn't blame the weather or the media. He pinpoints the root of the problem to each individual's responsibility. Did you hear what I said? It's each and every one of our responsibilities to watch out for the hurricanes, to have our own plan. You see, it's not the church, nor is it society's fault. It is our responsibility as Christians to take the necessary safeguards to protect ourselves from Satan's attacks. Because I'm telling you this, and you've heard me say it, and you've heard other preachers say it, that he is, the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The times are coming. He's seeking out. He wants to destroy you. His attacks have the potential to destroy and demolish lives, just as a hurricane. Just as a man could not conquer a hurricane alone, we cannot conquer Satan's attacks alone. I don't care how strong of a Christian you think you are. I don't care how big and mighty you think you are. You cannot conquer Satan's attacks alone. We need to take some personal responsibility and set up a plan to fight against his attacks. We may not know how, but the Lord does. And he gives us the answer if we will heed his instructions. In this series, I'd like to just prepare the soil, if you will, and for a study on the fruit of the Holy Spirit or being fruitful Christians. And I want to introduce to you this evening the person of the Holy Spirit and his ministry in our lives. The Holy Spirit is able to give you guidance throughout Satan's attacks. The Holy Spirit wants to indwell our hearts, and and we can have his power and be transformed into mighty Christians like the Apostle Paul. Many of us would say that he didn't start out great, but he finished great. Finished well. Maybe some of us in here could say, hey, I didn't start out so well, but I'm going to finish well. I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. See, we know the Holy Spirit's power. We've all experienced, we've all seen the Holy Spirit's power in our lives. We understand our need for the Holy Spirit in order to bear fruit. We can't do it alone. We need his help and his power. But we need to learn how to live with him. And I'd like to give you three things, or three aspects of the Holy Spirit this evening in our lives. And we'll have the message as you're there in Galatians chapter number 5. Let's start in verse 16. The Bible says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary in the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulence, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, reviling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things have not inherited the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, once again, thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Lord, I pray that this study, Lord, this will help be a help to us to all bear much fruit. Lord, that we would be fruitful Christians, realizing, Lord, that we can't do it ourselves, but we need the Holy Spirit's leading and guidance in our lives. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. We give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor that comes from everything that's said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to give you three aspects of the Holy Spirit. Number one, the Holy Spirit is a gift. It's a gift. The gift of the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with spiritual gifts. Okay, I want you to understand that. The charismatic crowd has kind of muddied up the waters, if you will, with that. But the Holy Spirit has nothing, when it's the gift of the Holy Spirit, it has nothing to do with spiritual gifts. It's referring to the Holy Spirit himself as being a gift. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, it says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be ye baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now that's speaking of the Holy Spirit being that gift, that present, if you will, from God the Father. When you ask Jesus Christ into your heart, at that moment, the Holy Spirit took up residence in your life. You became a new creature. The Bible says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto you. The fruit of the Holy Spirit cannot be taught, imitated, or manufactured. It's only produced by his presence in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit is only produced by his presence in our lives. There's a lot of imitations out there. A lot of imitators out there. But I can tell you there's only one true thing, and that's manifested through the Holy Spirit of God. I see that he was promised by Christ. The Bible says, how can we know, teaches us how we can know that the Holy Spirit is for everyone, and not just for just a select Christians, just a few Christians, but it's for every Christian. The Bible says in John chapter 14, 26, it says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down to the early church there in Jerusalem, and he filled the hearts of every believer. Now, notice what it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Now, notice this. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they all, with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They were all filled. It didn't say just a select few of them were filled, or and just some of these have these gifts. No, it's the gift of the Holy Spirit. There in Acts 2:41, it shows the believer's life after the working of the Holy Spirit. After someone is saved and after the Holy Spirit's working in their life, this is what it produces. There in Acts 2:41, it says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And in the same day, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and with singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That's the evidence of the Holy Spirit in abiding in people's lives, where they were in one accord, how they were in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayers. And fear came upon the people. Why? Because they had the Holy Spirit of living and abiding in them. Then in Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 40, Peter addresses the people at Pentecost. And while he preached Christ, a fire ignited their hearts, and the Holy Spirit convicted of sin. And folks, telling you, there was true repentance that came upon them. When the Holy Spirit does a work in your life and he deals with your heart, there will be repentance. There's not going to be this fighting this stuff. No, there's going to be repentance. When the Holy Spirit does a work in you, you're not going to fight that. At the end of Peter's message, the result of the Holy Spirit's work was, it was manifested. And Christ has promised the Holy Spirit to each individual as soon as a person is saved. Can I tell you, they at that moment, they receive the Holy Spirit in fullness. They don't receive a part of the Holy Spirit. That gift of the Holy Spirit lives and abides in them forever. The Lord has never broken a promise, nor will he ever begin to. We need to accept, believe, confess, and repent. And this is how we get the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But also, not only is he promised, but I see he's planted at conversion. He's planted in there at conversion. You and I were not present the day of Pentecost. Yet those of us who have been born again by the Holy Spirit convicted our hearts, we accepted him and regeneration by the Holy Spirit of God. There in John chapter 3, verse 5, it says this, verily, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Your first birth was your physical birth. For me, back in October the 4th, 1977, that was my physical birth. But when I got saved, I experienced the spiritual birth. That's when it was my spiritual birthday, if you will, and that was June the 13th, 1998. I was born again by the Spirit of God. Romans 8:9 says this, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Folks, we can say prayers until we're blue in the face, but until the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sins, reveals us our needs of salvation, there's no regeneration. See, you cannot receive Christ as your Savior without receiving the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says this, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God and are not of your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit which are God's. As Christians, our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. He lives and abides in us. At that moment, as soon as you got saved, at that moment, the Holy Spirit indwelt your life. And I believe He wants to empower us too. He wants to empower us to produce fruit as we walk for the Lord. I see that the next thing there is He's a preservation of the Christian. There in Ephesians 1:13 it says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit with promise." Notice that process there in Ephesians 1:13. Notice this. He says, "In whom ye have trusted, also trusted." Now notice this. "After that ye heard the word of truth." So they heard the word of truth. Now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then the gospel of your salvation, now notice this, "in whom also after that ye believed." So you heard, you believed, but then right after that, right after you believed, notice this, the next words, "you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." After you get saved, the Holy Spirit is there. He's our preservation. He's our seal of approval. Notice that process there. In the Bible, I was thinking about this. In the Bible, animals went through an examination process. And the reason why they went through that examination process was for sacrifices, if they were worthy to be sacrificed. Any animal sacrifice that had any blemish, had any spot on it, with any speck or anything like that, they weren't to be sacrificed. If the priest, if they sacrificed those animals, they would be killed. I mean, this was serious business. This was a serious process here. And once the priest he examined the make sure that they weren't lame, made sure they weren't blind, made sure they were without spot and blemish. After they did that, the priest did that. They put a seal or a branding on that animal to show that that animal was accepted. It signified His acceptance. Jesus Christ became our perfect sacrifice on Calvary. God's approval, His stamp of approval there, was for that on that sacrifice. And the Holy Spirit sealed us to the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit is a seal of our salvation, the earnest, the seal of our salvation. We have eternal hope and security in heaven because the Holy Spirit sealed us into the family of God. Get a hold of that. It's the Holy Spirit. A lot of times we're scared to even talk about the Holy Spirit. But it's the Holy Spirit's working in our lives because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. Number two, I want you to notice, number two, the Holy Spirit is a grower. It always saddens me to see a person who claims to be born again continue in a spiritual nursery. I mean, they haven't grown. It baffles my mind how that people can say they're Christians and never have any growth at all. See, the seed planted at salvation must continue to grow if it will ever be strong and healthy to bear fruit. Am I saying that there isn't spiritual babes out there? Yeah, the Bible teaches that there are spiritual babes out there, but the Bible also teaches us that He wants us to grow. Not to be newborn babes. Just like a garden is void of weeds, so is an effective Christian void of sin. We've got to get that sin out of our lives, to pluck those weeds out of our lives. See, growth is vital. Growth is vital if we want to avoid fleshly living. If we want to avoid that fleshly living, the Bible says this. Notice there in Galatians 5:16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another. So that ye cannot do the things that you would, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh, it tells about the works of the flesh, adultery, all these things. Folks, if we want to grow, growth is vital if we want to avoid these fleshly appetites. How do you know if you are spiritual or fleshly? If you're a spirit-filled Christian or if you're a fleshly, carnal Christian? Well, it depends on which one you feed the most. I've told you about the Indian, how the Indian said he got saved, and he told the man that led him to the Lord, he says, it's like two dogs fighting inside me. And the preacher asked him, which one wins? He says, the one I feed the most. If we're feeding the Spirit the most, folks, that's why prayer and Bible study and going to church and that's why those things those things are so important. Why? Because we're feeding the Spirit. You see, think about your daily routine. What do you invest most of your time in? If the majority of your time is at work, do your best to make it a godly atmosphere. We all have to work. I understand those things, but we don't have to be of this world. We can make it a godly atmosphere. I know when I was working Great Dane, there was people that every time that they wanted to push my buttons to see how far I would go. I always wanted to do that. But I tried to make it a godly atmosphere. I'd read my Bible during lunchtime. I would do different things. And you know what? I worked there for 5 years. And before those 5 years were over, I had people coming to me. Hey, Brother Rick, would you pray for this for me? My sister, my mom, my cousin. They would have me praying for them. Why is that? Because I'm not saying I'm the best Christian. I'm just saying we need to make a godly atmosphere where we're at. If it's at work, if it's at school, wherever we're at, we need to try to make it a godly atmosphere. Do people at work know that you're a Christian? They should. They should. I'm not saying that you need to go around thumping your Bible over their heads and things like that. But they should know. They should be able to come to you and say, hey, pray for this. Why? Because there's something different about you. It's evidence in your life. Spiritual growth doesn't just happen by accident. We must purpose to feed the Spirit and ignore the appetites of the flesh. I see growth as it's evidence of salvation. It's evidence of salvation. Your fruit should show others that you're saved by the fruit that you bear. The Bible says this, wherefore by their fruits ye shall be known. By their fruits ye shall know them. Satan can attempt to counterfeit fruit. He can do it. But only God can produce true spiritual fruit as we walk in the Spirit. True love, true joy, true peace. The spiritual fruit that cannot be imitated. The evidence of our salvation will come from the fruit we allow the Holy Spirit to produce in us. It'll be seen by the fruit. Then growth is created as we walk in the Spirit. Growth is created as we walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's pretty simple. The Bible says it very clearly right there. Walk in the Spirit, and you should not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What I'm seeing is that there's too many of us walking in the flesh. We're not walking in the Spirit. Why aren't we having spiritual victory? Why aren't we bearing much fruit? We're walking in the flesh and not in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit will cause us to grow. This growth boils down to a choice. If we choose to ignore the prodding of the Holy Spirit, we are choosing the flesh. If we're choosing to ignore the prodding of the Holy Spirit, we're choosing the flesh. If we submit to His leading, we will grow thereby. We need to develop a lifestyle of walking in the Spirit. I'm here to tell you that there will be resistance from the flesh when we walk in the Spirit. There'll be a great resistance, but the Holy Spirit of God can guide you through it. Number three, I want you to notice the Holy Spirit's good. There's nothing good about you or me. The only thing good, I heard one man say, I'm only a sinner saved by grace. The only thing good about me is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only thing good about me. And can I say this? The Holy Spirit that works inside me. That's the only thing that's good about me. Fruit doesn't grow naturally. Weeds are what grow naturally. And the fruit of the Spirit is a supernatural kind of growth. And He enables us to be blessings to others. I'm thankful that His character is produced inside the Christian. Because of the Spirit's goodness, His character is produced in you and in me. Fruit is an outward result of what's going on in the inside. When we're bearing much fruit, when you're seeing the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the gentleness, the meekness, those things, when we're seeing the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit working on the inside of us. If the Holy Spirit is in you and you are yielded to His strength when faced with tough times, we can have peace and contentment. That's the only way we're able to get through things. How are you to have joy in times of difficulties? That's the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit. D.L. Moody was talking. He had a group of people as he was preaching. He had a half glass full of, and once again, I forgot my object lesson. They had a half glass of water. I've got a half glass of water up here. And he says, how do I get the air out of this bottle? How do I get it out of there? Someone says to tighten the seal and to pump air back into it. And he said, no. He says, this is how you get air out of the bottle. He says, you fill it up with more water. How do we get the world out of the Christian? Fill more of the Holy Spirit inside the Christian. More of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. More of those things, those evidences. You want to be a Spirit-filled Christian? You want to be a fruitful Christian? We need to get these things that are fornication, all these things that are listed there in Galatians chapter number 5, hatred, witchcraft, idolatry, variance, emulance, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envy, murder, all these things. You know what? We need to get those things out of our life and pump in the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Pump in those things. The Holy Spirit is good. I'm thankful that His character is produced in us. We must empty ourselves of sin and self-will in order for the Holy Spirit to fill us. The victorious Christian life is attained when the Holy Spirit has the whole glass. You hear what I'm saying? The whole glass, not just half the glass. We'll see more fruit when the Spirit has the whole glass. Then I'm also thankful that His character is perceived in the Christian. Once the Holy Spirit's character is produced in you, His character will be seen as a witness to those around you. Again, Matthew 7:16 says this, ye shall know them by their fruits. You shall know them by their fruits. You go out here and you see an apple tree. How do you know it's an apple tree? I'm not one that, my dad, he can walk through woods, and I know Brother Travis is his way. He can say, oh, that's an oak. Oh, that's a pine. I can figure out pine trees pretty easily, but that's a walnut tree, and that's this, and that's an apple tree, and only time I can tell that it's an apple tree is when there's apples on it. Only time I can know that it's a pear tree is when there's pears on it. I can tell you this, the Bible says this, you shall know them by their fruit. What do people see in us? Do they see love? Do they see joy? Do they see gentleness, long-suffering? Do they see peace? Do they see goodness? Do they see faith? Do they see meekness? Do they see temperance? Do they see this fruit in your life? Can the unsaved world see a difference in you? Do people at work know that you're a Christian? Are you allowing God to make that difference in your life? You see, there's nothing more satisfying to the Lord. I believe this because he says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I believe this. There's nothing more satisfying to the Lord than a spiritual, fruitful, a fruit-bearing Christian. One that is being led by the Holy Spirit of God. As someone who radiates the love and joy of Christ, even during tribulations. I can tell you we're going to have hard times. But there's something different when God gives you that peace and that joy, that gentleness, all those things. Christians are often like fruit trees that have gone through a drought. They're excited and growing for the Lord until something goes wrong, until that drought comes along. Something happens. And then they stop growing and they become spiritually dry. Then they are no longer empowered and sustained by the Holy Spirit to experience a growing and fulfilling Christian life. God wants us to bear fruit. God wants us to be fruitful Christians. Church, we must be yielded to the Holy Spirit of God. There's no way that we can be fruitful Christians unless we're yielded to His Holy Spirit. Allow Him to renew our root system. Maybe it's got dried up a little bit. Allow Him to, His everlasting water to flow through our life and experience the joy of bearing fruit once again. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would take this simple series, this lesson on the Holy Spirit and how you are good. The Holy Spirit's good to us. Lord, the Holy Spirit's the one that grows us. Lord, I pray that we would be yielded Christians to the Holy Spirit of God. Work as only you can in our lives, I pray. And we'll give you all the praise and the glory and the honor that comes from it. In Jesus' name, amen. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You hear this evening, you say, "Pastor, there's some areas of my life I haven't been fruitful. I haven't been showing the fruit of the Spirit. Pastor, pray for me. I want you to just come on up here and have a word of prayer. You pray with the Lord. You do business with God now. And yield your spirit to Him. Not my will, but thine be done. In order for us to be fruitful Christians, producing and what God has called us to do, we must be yielded to the Spirit of God. This time of invitation, you're welcome to come. Few things this evening as we go into our prayer time. I would ask that you would continue to remember the Weeks family in this time of bereavement. Continue to pray for them. I would ask that you would continue to pray for your church family as you look around and you know the needs. Pray for our services this coming weekend as we need the Lord's work in all of our lives. Ask that you would pray for my mom and the situation. She's trying to find a place for her. And so just, Lord, you give me wisdom. Would ask that you pray for Miss Pam. She doesn't say much, but her leg is in bad shape, and I think she's got a test to be done this weekend. Would ask that you'd remember her. Someone else have a prayer request tonight? Yes, Jennifer. Pray for Jennifer. Continue to pray for Brother Kirk. He's going to be having a procedure done sometime on his thyroid, so continue to pray for him. Yes, Brother Chris. Yeah. Pray for Brother Sonny. And he's, of course, pray for the whole family. But Brother Sonny, I know he was having a really difficult time, and so pray for him. Anybody else? Yes, Miss Suzanne. Yes, continue to pray for Brother Adam, Miss Evelyn. All right, anyone else before we go to the Lord? All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you again, Lord, for the privilege that we have, that we can lift our petitions to you, knowing that you hear us. Lord, we, of course, want your will done in each situation. Lord, we give you the praise and the glory that comes from it. But Lord, we lift our petitions not knowing exactly what your will is, but we'll pray for your will. Lord, we ask that you would, Lord, that you would hear these requests. Lord, we think of Brother Sonny now and the whole Wiggs family as they're in this time of bereavement. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen him, and Lord, give him a peace, and Lord, give him what he needs, I pray. Be ever so real to him and to the family, and Lord, I pray that you would just wrap your loving arms around him. Lord, I ask that you would continue to be with Brother Adam and Miss Evelyn in this time. Lord, I pray that you comfort them as well. Lord, I pray that you would be with our church and help us to grow in spirit. Help us to bear much fruit, and Lord, also help us to grow in number. Lord, I ask that you be with Miss Pam as she's had a lot of leg pain. And Lord, I know that she's not one to complain, but Lord, I ask that you would just touch her and give the doctors wisdom beyond their years of studies. And Lord, they'll be able to figure out exactly what's going on. And Lord, I know our will is that she wouldn't have to have another surgery, but Lord, we ask that you would just touch her leg and just do a great work there. Lord, for Brother Kirk, as he's getting ready to go in for his thyroid surgery, Lord, I pray that you would just be with the doctors there in that situation as well. Lord, I ask that you would just, Lord, be with our upcoming services this weekend. Lord, speak to hearts, prepare the hearts even now. Holy Spirit of God, I pray, Lord, that you would just do a work and that only you can do, not something that we can manufacture, or Lord, that we can counterfeit, but Lord, I pray that it's something that you work in our hearts, Lord, that only you can. Give us that joy and peace and contentment, and Lord, the fruit of the Spirit, the gentleness and meekness and long-suffering and temperance, and Lord, I ask that you just help us with those areas. Lord, I ask that you would, if there's for other prayer requests in here for Jennifer and her hearing, Lord, I pray that you would just be with the doctors there and help them to figure out what's going on there. The proper way to fulfill that need there. Also for my mom, Lord, I ask that you would give me wisdom. how to handle that situation, Lord, that you would intervene, and Lord, just you know how it's heavy on my heart, and I've given it to you, and I've asked you to just take care of it. And God, I ask that you would do that now. Lord, I thank you for this church. I pray that you would just guide and direct us. Lord, help us to be what you would have us to be, a light in this dark community. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do, and we give you all the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thank you. Let's go ahead. I forgot to take up the offering. My wife just reminded me. A good Baptist always takes up an offering, she tells me. And all right, let's go ahead and have the men come forward. We'll take up this evening's tithes and offerings. Brother Tim, sir, would you please? Just a couple of announcements, and then we'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. I want to remind parents that there's a teen activity this coming Friday, and it's our prom alternative, if you will, for our high school, but also other teens are invited to come, and so I want to welcome those. That's this coming Friday. For more details, see Brother Nathan or Brother Caleb. They can get you more information on that. Then next Wednesday, church planner Elmer Cox will be with us. He's trying to start a church, and I can't remember the area. It's somewhere in Indiana, but he used to be in this area, and so he called me up and asked me if he could present the ministry, and I said that'd be fine. So that's next Wednesday, and then Sunday the 26th, the teens will be having the service. All the proceeds will help to help the teenagers go to Costa Rica, and we saw Brother Neff this last weekend, and he was such a blessing to us, wasn't he? And I'm looking forward to anybody who would like to go. You can go, as he said, all you need is a plane ticket and maybe a little spending money. I know it's going to be a good time, so if you're interested in that, we plan on doing that next January. And so that'd be make plans to do that. Get your passport now, he said, and I know that you'll have a good time. Then April the 1st is our prayer breakfast and soul winning visitation. And then on April the 28th and 29th is our couples retreat, and the cost is $125. It's going to be at Spring Mill State Park, and please sign up for that as soon as possible. All right, I think that's all the announcements. We'll all stand and close in word of prayer. Brother Ed, sir, would you close this in a word?